Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
With us to the book of Luke tonight. Luke chapter number 12. Appreciate the good spirit of God tonight. I appreciate the spirit of God we experienced on Wednesday night.
Yes.
What a good place to be. My goodness, it was just so full, and the testimonies were so rich. Seemed like the folks that was here wanted to be here.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When people come into the house of God as participators, not spectators.
Yeah.
They come to get their part. I hope you'll get your part tonight. Appreciate what God's already done. Every bit of an encouragement that you can be to somebody, you need to be that. We're living in a time when this old world itself will drain the very spiritual energy out of a person. And sometimes you may meet them, and they may need a word from you. They may need some encouragement from you. Don't hold that. Give it. Be sure to share it. And love your neighbor. That was the command. That was what the Lord commissioned us to do, was to love one another. So do that. It may cost you something. It may cost you time or effort, or may be an inconvenience. But listen, ain't anything ever good that didn't cost something. That's what the message is about tonight. I want us to be rich toward God. How do you get there? How does that happen? Luke chapter number 12, verse number 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Listen to what he said. Now, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Amen, amen. You hear that, don't you?
Yeah.
Man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesseth. Right. You will never find the security you're looking for in stuff.
That's right.
In money.
That's right.
Whatever it is, you'll not find it there.
Right.
Amen. Listen to the word of God, people. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He brought within him, thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Lord, open our hearts to this truth tonight. Speak it, Father, deeply into our souls, Father, that the fabric of our thought process, God, is filtered through this, that we allow ourselves, God, to be, Lord, brought into check, God, concerning the things of this world which might trip or snare. But how we pray that you'd open our heart to it, that we might every day look for those opportunities, that we might become rich toward you. Rich, God, as only you can make one. Thank you for what you're going to do. As we ask it, we pray for the unction and for the receiving of the word by the children of God. We ask it, believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To be rich in this world is a relative term. Listen, if any one of you, it doesn't make any difference who you are, or how much money you got, or whether you have anything much at all, if you was to step into a third world country, they'd look at you as a rich man. That's right, because it's a relative term. It's relative to the hearer, the seer, the speaker. When they look at you, they compare themselves to you, and if you've got more than them, they consider you to be rich. Now, I would say today that there's many people that have a desire in this world to be rich. They chase after money, they chase after wealth or power, fame, and all these things driven by the greed and the lust of one's soul. But friend, you'll never be rich toward God if your affection is upon the things of this world. If what really you think makes a man rich happens to be something that is valued in this present world as a position or some kind of monetary value, listen, you're going to probably find yourself in the end broke toward God. You're going to be bankrupt toward God. You're going to miss having the opportunity day after day to lay up in heaven treasures, amen, where the thieves can't steal it and the moths can't corrupt it or the rust it. You can't lay up enough before God, friend, and be rich enough when it concerns God. And yet I believe today many are following after the wrong thing. The Bible said here that Jesus was dealing with the very lust and covetousness of their heart. And as he gave them the parable, he spoke of a man who died a rich man. But what we find is that the Lord said he was foolish. He was foolish in his thought, believing that somehow or another, that having a bunch of stuff somehow, he could take his ease and eat, drink, and being merry. That somehow he had riches that would secure him. What we know about this world, friend, is that life is but a vapor. You're here for a minute and you're gone the next. You can't control the very next moment of your life. And yet God has given us instruction concerning how we can be rich toward him. What we find, friend, was we're all beggars before God when he found us. Every one of us without God and bankrupt in this world spiritually, having nothing to offer God, having nothing, friend, that God was after but you. And yet when he brought you into his family, he made you an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And you became rich toward God. You received the inheritance of an eternal life and the promise of a new home and a new body, the promise of a place where we'll never die and a place where there'll be no sin. And friend, you was given the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God, all these great benefits poured upon you. If you're still chasing after the things of this world, you're wasting your time because you won't find ever there's a way to be rich toward God if you're chasing the things of this world. If your love and your affections about the things of this world, friend, you've divided your heart and God's not in it. Because I'll tell you right now, he'll have no other God before him. And money can be a God. Possessions can be a God. Your hobbies or your affections, whatever they go to, if they outweigh what you're doing for God, friend, you better check yourself. Because God doesn't take second place to nobody. If you put somebody in your heart on the throne where he's to sit, friend, he'll not be there. He'll not be the place and grab fellowship for you that you're looking for. If you want to have this world and have God, you're wasting your time. God don't work that way. You're going to have to choose one or the other. You're going to have to set your affections on the things that are above and start turning loose of the things of this world. Because I'll tell you right now, when you stand before God, he's not interested in what your bank account said. He's not interested in how many possessions that you had. He's not going to be concerned about whether you lived in a mansion on a hilltop or a shack by the road. God is not concerned about those things. I'll tell you right now, he's made promises to me that whether I have something or don't have something, he's going to meet my needs. And brother, he'll do that. Thank God. A man don't have to have something in his pocket to be rich. Amen. The best thing you can do. I held my brother's hand a second ago in the hospital. And we wept in joy as the Holy Ghost moved from breast to breast. He's never been a man of means. But as far as I'm concerned, he was one of the richest men I know. There was never a time that I went to him that there wasn't extra. There wasn't something he could give and put to my heart or invest in me. He was always rich toward God. Friend, that's what we're looking for in this world, not the earthly possessions. They won't help you. As a matter of fact, I find them to be a great hindrance to most. Amen, amen. When people get stuff, they end up following stuff. Their affections end up following the things of this world. They begin to follow these things as if they have some kind of great importance. Let me tell you something. If everything I had burned up, I'll tell you right now, that does not determine whether I'm rich toward God. And that's what matters today. Amen, I'm glad that I've got something the world can't take away. Amen. Nor can it value it. As a matter of fact, if you ask the world what worth it is to love Jesus and to experience the Holy Ghost every day, they'll not give you much account for it. But I'll tell you right now, among this crowd, I hope you'll agree with me, the greatest thing I've ever enjoyed is the presence of God, and the goodness of God is upon me. And brother, there ain't enough devils in hell, amen, to take me where God don't want me to go. I'm as rich as they get because God has guided me and been in me and continues to hold me. Rich toward God, you better find out. I believe some are spiritual beggars tonight because they've allowed themselves and their hearts to be divided. When you get divided, friend, you're going to find yourself in a bad place. The Bible said here Jesus gave them a parable. And when it came to rich men, he really did warn them. Several places in the Word of God you'll warn about rich people. There was a place where the Bible said in the book of Luke as well, Luke 18, when that young ruler came to Jesus saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, and he said, I've done all that. And then finally Jesus looked at him and he said, hey, take everything you have and go sell it. You see, Jesus knew what his problem was before he ever walked up there. He understood that. Hey, look at me right now, friend. God knows what your problem is right now. He's not bewildered about what's troubling you. He's not worried, or he's not trying to figure out what it is holding you back or keeping you from selling out and surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows just right what it is right now, a friend, that keeps you from being rich toward him. Friend, God already knows what the problem is. Amen. The Bible said in Luke 18, said this man was very rich. And he walked away from the Lord. He walked away from eternal life. He walked away from eternal security. Let me tell you something right now. If you had cancer and there was a man standing there with a cure, amen, and he said, it's free, you can have it. I don't know anybody in the room to walk away from him. Amen. You wouldn't say no to the man. If you knew it was a cure for the disease that you had, you'd stick your hand out and you'd receive that. I don't know why it is that men want to be rich in this world and yet poor concerning God. I'll tell you right now, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't fit in my heart tonight why a man would want a dollar when he can have a king. Amen. None of that matters. Amen. We don't control what we have. You understand that, right? If you've got anything, brother, God's given it to you. And if you've got an abundance, he's expecting you to do something with that. That was his warning. That's what he told Timothy. He said, you warn the rich that if they have an abundance, they better be generous. They better pay attention to the needs around them and see that they contribute. That's what he said. He said, warn them. He said, because all that stuff that they gather up in their barns, he said, it'll keep them from loving me if they begin to put their focus on it. Let me tell you something. If you're chasing the goods of this world, you're messing up, friend. You're wasting your time. Because ain't nothing in this world having if it means I can't have Jesus. Amen, amen. I'm glad. What the Bible said was, is that man walked away. Very sorrowful. He walked away. The Bible said, for he was very rich. And the Lord looked at him after he had walked away, and he said, how hard it is for a man that's rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, that startled him. Amen. Every Pharisee they knew was rich. Amen. That's who they thought was going to heaven. I'll tell you right now, just because a man's got something don't mean God's blessed him. Huh? Amen. There's filthy lucre out there. There's ill-gotten gains on every side. If you don't believe that, you just open up your wallet. It'll be gone before you know it. Somebody will take it from you, amen, because there are thieves and robbers. There always has been. The covetousness of a man's heart has not changed. Friend, it's just as wicked as it was in the day that Adam and Eve left the garden. It ain't been changed not one bit. This world is full of ungodly wickedness. The love of money is the root of all evil. That ain't changed, friend. It's still out there, and it's keeping men and women from knowing Christ. Amen. Riches are keeping people from God. He said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Amen. Thank God I didn't have a nickel when I got saved. Huh? That wasn't something God could require me. Amen, amen. Y'all tell you right now, you say, preacher, would you like to see children get saved? I'd rather see the Holy Ghost get a hold of them when they're a child. You know why? Because they ain't got no bank account. Huh? They ain't got no Porsche, they ain't got no bass boat, they ain't got no shotguns, they ain't got no fancy house or yard or land. Amen. They ain't got none of that ratchet of stuff that corrupts one's mind and keeps them from the glory of God. God wants to make you a millionaire, friend, but it'll have to mean that you excuse yourself from loving the things of this world. He don't trade that. No, you can have it all, but you can't have both. You understand me? Amen. He said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they looked at the Lord and they said, Lord, then who can be saved? I love what he told them. He said, well, with men, he said, it's impossible. He said, but with God, he said, all things are possible. Amen. He said, it's this hard. He said, it's as hard as a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Amen. That's just impossible. But I'll tell you right now, God can do anything. Amen. I've known millionaires that were rich. I sure have. I've known people that loved God, and he blessed them, and I've seen them give their lives for him and give their fortune for him. I've met people like that. Amen. If God can trust you with a nickel, he'll have to give you a dime. Huh? Amen. If God can trust you with a dime, he's liable to give you a quarter. If he can trust you with a quarter, he might give you a dollar. Amen. Ain't nothing to my God. Amen. He knows what to do, don't he, brother? You and I done talked about that. But he better be able to trust you with what he's doing. If he's going to bless you and you're going to turn around and start loving what he blessed, I'll tell you right now, he'll take it away from you. And he ought to, because it ain't doing you any good. If your heart is in the things of this world, you need to get right with God, because our treasure, friend, is what's in heaven. Our treasure ain't in this world. You ain't rich toward God. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you ain't rich toward God. Amen. Jesus gave the parable of this man that thought he had everything he needed for years. Amen. He didn't just have 1 year wages. He had many years laid up in them barns. Amen. Didn't have to strike a lick at nothing. He had plenty of everything. Amen. But I'll tell you where he went wrong. He put his trust in stuff. He put his security in what he had put in them barns. He thought he was a smart man. He thought if he could just build bigger, if he could just get something to house all that stuff he had, that somehow or another that equaled security, and that would somehow create the ease he needed. I'll tell you right now, the things of this world, the pleasures of sin, they may endure for a season, but it'll run out on you. The prodigal found out that money his father gave him, it didn't last very long, friend, in a famine. God knows how to strip a one and to bring us down to the place, amen, where we recognize that it don't matter what we have in this world. What matters is what we have in our heart, and that we're rich toward God. Are you rich toward God? Amen. Some of you are envious, covetous tonight. You're looking at your neighbor and you're thinking, if I just had what that feller had, I'd be happy. I'll tell you right now, whatever that other feller has, it don't make no difference what it is. It won't bring happiness. Amen. You might enjoy it for a minute, but I'll tell you right now, your covetous soul will be looking for something better the next day. Amen. You'll be looking something with a bigger motor or something with a bigger screen or something with a bigger look. Amen. Something better than what Jones has down the street. I'll tell you right now, I don't care. It doesn't make any. I've met a many a soul, amen, that couldn't rub pennies together. They didn't happen to give, but they is rich toward God, and I'd rather be around them than any millionaire I know. Amen. They had something that I needed, and they didn't bother him a bit to share the wealth. Amen. They would share Jesus. They would share the Holy Ghost. They would share, amen, being rich toward God. That matters. That matters. Amen. While the richest people I've known didn't have anything. They didn't have much anything. Me and a fella was talking yesterday, as we was working, he was talking about so-and-so. He said nobody knew how much money they had when they died. Amen. Amen. I was thinking to myself, I looked at him and I said, you know what? That's the way it ought to be. Amen. Just because you might have a little something, amen, doesn't mean we have to act like we're something above somebody else. Amen. Because I'll tell you right now, you can be absent of that something just like that right there. What God's looking for is good children this morning or this evening. And I believe he's wanting, amen, to train us up. But friend, let me tell you something. What we're looking for ain't of this world. I'm looking for that good part, amen, that the money can't buy. Amen. You couldn't trade gold for what I get. Amen. At the feet of Jesus. Amen. You can't get what I get, friend, with the things of this world. There ain't enough treasures to buy what we get from God. We're rich toward God tonight. Amen. Amen. But Jesus warned about rich men. He said it's hard for rich men to be saved. It's hard for them to be saved because they trust in their riches. And if they trust in their riches, they won't trust in him. See, you can't trust in both, what Jesus is saying. And that's the reason he had to deal with that man's wealth. It's because that man's wealth was what he trusted in. He wanted eternal life, but what he didn't understand was to get it, he had to give up on everything himself. You say, preacher, I've got $1 million, but I want to be saved. The $1 million won't keep you from being saved. Yep. Trusting in it will. Yep. You understand what I'm saying? You better hear my mind. That'll keep you out of heaven. If you trust in your riches, if you believe in those riches, if you live for those riches, if your affection is for the things of this world, that will keep you out of heaven, friend, because God won't share his throne. Right. Certainly won't share it with a quarter. Amen, amen. You think $100 bill impresses God? Huh? You think $1 million in the bank impresses God? Means nothing to him. I believe that's why he paved the streets with gold. Amen. What this world treasures as the most valuable, he uses as building materials. You think your wealth impresses God? No. What impresses God? Let's see if it's in. There it is. You know what that is, isn't you? The Bible said they're standing in the temple one day, Jesus and the disciples. They're just watching. They're all coming through, all them big wigs. They're coming through, they're pulling out, they're throwing in that big money. I don't believe Jesus ever looked at him. That don't impress me much. There's a song about that one. That don't impress me much. No, they just kept walking around. But here come this little old lady. Here come this little old lady. I don't believe she ever looked at him. I believe she just walked up there, their head down, slipped that little penny. Jesus said, hey, hey, did you see what she did? Did you see that? Only God, right? Amen. Only the Lord. Did you see that? And they're looking around and said, what? What? He said, did you see what she gave? Yeah, she gave just a mite, a widow's mite, a half a cent is what it was. And he looked at him, he looked at him, Alfred, and he said, she gave more than all of them. Amen. Can't you see them? Can't you see them scratching their heads? What is he talking about? He said, for she gave of her want. They gave of their abundance. They gave because they had it. He said, but this woman didn't have it. She gave out of her want. You know what I know about them woman? She's rich. Huh? She was rich.
Amen.
Toward God. See, she didn't even know it, but she figured out what he was digging. Amen. He was looking. He saw that. Amen. And that went to her account somewhere else. That little penny was worth billions on glory's side. Because she impressed him with it. Rich men have a hard time going to heaven if they trust their riches. The Bible said that there was a rich man. And the Bible said that there was a beggar laid at his gate every day. You know the story in Luke as well. The Bible said one day they both died. And it said that the angels came from heaven. You know how much it costs to get an escort of angels come and get you? You reckon you got enough green, amen, to get some angels to come on down? Amen. Take you right. Now, I'm talking about rich, friend. Amen. My Father owns the hills of a thousand cattle. He owns everything under them. He created everything in the world, including the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. They ain't nothing ain't his. You think he's impressed with your bank account? Uh-uh. No, that don't impress him at all. What impresses him is what you do for him. No, the Bible said the old beggar died. He didn't have nothing, see. As a matter of fact, he couldn't get even a good crumb from the rich man who could have surely spared the crumbs. What he raked into the little pot the servants did and fed it to the dogs or the chickens or whatever, and a man laying out there starving to death begging for a crumb as he would pass every day. Just for a crumb. And he never gave him not even a nibble of the leftovers that was going to be thrown. The Bible said when the beggar died that the angels came. And they carried old Lazarus right up on into Abraham's bosom. You can't buy that. No. The only way you're going to get that kind of treatment is if you're rich toward God. That's the only way, you see, to get to the glory side. There ain't nothing you can have in this world that compares with what we're going to see. But the Bible said the rich man died too. See, and he wasn't rich toward God. You know they didn't load his coffin with all that gold. Every benefactor he had fought over it. No, they ain't putting none of that in the grave. How come? Because it won't do a man no good. Amen. Job said it this way: naked came I into the world, and that's how I'll leave. Not a thing. I ain't taking a thing with. Nothing. Amen. You ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? Don't happen. How come? Don't need it. Friend, when you die, everything you've got is going to be left for somebody else to worry about. And you know what? It do you no good no more. It's worthless to you if you ain't rich toward God. Rich toward God. You say, well, doesn't sound like a rich man can be saved. Not true. Not true. Let me give you an example of three of them. The Bible gives us three men that we know were rich. How come? Because the Bible said they were. We find a little short fella, amen, that wanted to see Jesus. Remember him? Tax collector. Amen. Probably a swindler. Amen. Probably had a bunch of ill-gotten gains. But that day when Jesus stopped at the bottom of that sycamore tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to go to your house today. Old Zacchaeus came down from there and he entertained the Lord that day and he got right with God. He got saved. He got rich toward God. And when he got rich toward God, he started giving away what he had. He said, Lord, if I've defrauded any man, he said, I'll pay him back fourfold. He said, I'll give it back every bit, whatever I owe him. When he got right with God, his money meant nothing to him. He started getting right with everybody else around him because he had got rich toward God. See, rich men can go to heaven. It's not impossible. They just can't trust in their riches and get there. The Bible said that Joseph of Arimathea, he was a rich man, a Pharisee, rich man. He could afford to buy those linen cloths. He was a man of means, a man of power. And when he went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, Pilate let him have him. Once he knew he was dead, he said, you can have him. And Joseph of Arimathea went back. He was a rich man. That's what the Bible said. And the Bible said he took Jesus down off the cross and somebody else showed up at the cross. Old Nicodemus, he was another rich Pharisee. Amen. The one that the Lord said, you must be born again. Nicodemus showed up at the dead body of Jesus and he brought some expensive ointments and things to anoint the body of Jesus. Amen. He put his money where his heart was and he spent it on the Lord. He did something with it. Amen. That proved that he was rich toward God and he wasn't trusting in this world's riches. And you know what they did? They honored the body, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ that day with their wealth. They sure did. They spent whatever was necessary. As a matter of fact, Joseph said, he didn't tell how much he spent on that new tomb, but let me tell you something. They didn't have forklifts back then and backhoes and jackhammers. No, somebody chiseled that thing out of a rock. That's what a sepulcher was. It's a big old rock thing, and somebody chiseled out a cave inside of it and made a door for it, and he had a brand new one. And Joseph said he can have it. Can he have yours? Huh? There's a little boy with lunch one day. Amen. Had a few loaves of fish and or a few loaves of bread and some fish. One of them disciples come back and said, hey, fella, would you mind if we had that? That's all he had for lunch. That's all he had. He's as hungry as everybody else got. You know what he did? He just handed it to him. Can he have yours? You willing to give God your lunch? Can he have it? Now you know he can take whatever you give him. That's him. But you got to be rich toward God to see this. And you got to be willing, you see, to recognize that they ain't one thing you got. That if you'll place it in God's hand, he can't bless. I found out this to be a truth. I have never outgave God. And he's tried me. He's tried me. He's checked my heart. He's checked my obedience before. Amen. Everybody's got one of these testimonies, surely, but he's checked mine. I remember a long time ago when I'm older now. I've got more money than I used to have. I remember what it was like making $4.25 an hour and working overtime and still wondering if we was going to feed everybody. I remember those days. And it was back then that God began to deal with me about tithing. Then, when I didn't have nothing to give, that's when he wants you to make a commitment. How come? Because he wants you to be rich toward him. He don't care about your money. You think for a minute he needs your money. No, what he needs is your obedience and your commitment to him, and to make a commitment in your heart that the love of this world is not greater than the love of God. No, rich men can go to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? You know this, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the Lord's come to make you rich. You say, wait a minute, that's what all them TV preachers are saying. No, they misunderstood the concept. Amen. I'm not talking about green. I'm not talking about silver or gold. No. He became poor that I might be made rich. Say, preacher, are you rich? Absolutely. I'm as rich as they get. Amen, amen. How come? I've got a home yonder in glory. My name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. My father's a king. My brother owns it all. Amen. And I'm going to a land, amen, where the gates of that city are a solid pearl, each one of them. And we walk on gold. Amen. He's the light of it. I'm telling you right now, he is a comfort. He is a peace. He is a joy. He is everything that my soul needs. He is everything that money can't buy. He give it all to me the moment I got saved. I was made a millionaire. Amen. Not to this world, but I'm rich toward God today. I'm rich toward God. I'll tell you right now, you can give it all to him. God's trying to raise children today. He's not trying to raise money. He's trying to raise children. And if he can teach you that important lesson to not put your trust in stuff or the thing of this world, but you'll put your trust wholly in him, what you might find out is he blesses you. You might find out that he does things you wasn't expecting, Greg. He'll bless you, but we don't do it because of the blessings. No, I've done said, you can't outgive God. Amen, you can't outgive God. I've told this many a time, and I'll tell it till I'm dying, because it meant something to me. And I was sitting there at Edgewood Church, the pastor of it, and singing group up here. Teresa wasn't there. She handles all the money, so it's up to me. If they was going to give them anything for me, I had to give it. And the Lord said, give everything in your pocket. And I, just like then, I carry a little cash in my pocket. Amen, right? Because she got all checks. I just have a little cash. So I didn't know how much it was. I didn't know how bad I was going to need it till next week. But he said, give everything in your pocket. I never even looked, Alfred. I just grabbed what was in my pocket. When that plate came around, I throwed it in it, and it went on. Service was over. Amen said. Everybody was going out. I was headed toward the side door there at Edgewood Church. And Wally Mae McLemore said, preacher, said, come here a minute. I walked over there. She said, don't know why. The Lord said, give you this. She shook my hand. And I guarantee you what she gave me was more than what I give. I know it was. That took all of 10 minutes for God to check and bless. Ain't nothing to God. Ain't nothing to God. He checked to see whether I coveted what was in my pocket more than I did obedience to his will. And within 10 minutes, he gave it all back to me. Amen, amen. You see why that means something to me? Because I know that was a test. That was a test. Thank God for the people that when God gives them something to do, they don't think twice. They just do it. They just do it. Amen. Come get a song. Come get a song. I'll share this story. When this was in 1987, 88, maybe. Anyway, long time ago, we had a little Toyota Corolla hatchback. You remember that rags? God, that was a ragged vehicle, buddy, but it would run. They called me from Miller's Cove Church and said, won't you come preach on Sunday morning? I said, okay. We got up Sunday morning, and Teresa said, there ain't no gas in it. She said, I don't have no money. She said, have you got money? I said, no, I ain't got any. She said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to go to Miller's Cove. That's all I know to do is just go on. You know how it's like to watch the gauge on the car. We drove to Miller's Cove, and I preached that morning, and they come around and handshake. And Betty Herring came by. She's the only one who gave me a thing. But she came by that morning. I wasn't expecting anything, see, but she came by that morning. She handed me something, and I just stuck it in my pocket. And she went on. We walked outside. She said, I don't think we'll have gas to get home. I said, we will now. She said, why? And I pulled out a $20 bill. Well, back then, $20 go a long way. You could fill a car up and have a nickel left back then. The question is, will you trust God more than money? What you need to be is rich toward God. There ain't a problem with you having money. It doesn't matter if you have houses and lands and cars and all that stuff, as long as you don't love them more than Him. Can't even be a close second, really. Your affection has got to be for Him. And if He can trust you with the rest of it, He's liable to let you have it. The truth is, a bunch of us He can't trust much with. So we don't get much. Thank God, thank God. Amen. If you can't handle it, you don't need it. If it's going to keep you from serving God, I hope He takes yours. Because I'll tell you right now, if we're going to get to where Valerie's trying to get Tim Youngins this weekend, you're going to have to go deeper. You're going to have to find them sins that are hid down there nobody else knows about, like your love for the stuff you've got or the money you've got or the desire for it that you have, even if you don't have it, if that's where your heart is. You're not rich toward God. You're bankrupt. What you need is what God gives abundantly. That's what He said. That's what He said. To those that are cheerful givers, to those that find that their delight is in the Lord, not in the stuff of this world. Their delight is in the Lord. We find they're the richest on the earth. Whether they ever have anything matters not. Amen. Does not matter. But you can be rich toward God. You can be rich toward God. I've known a lot of poor people, and I know you have too. I've been poor people. Amen. I've been poor people. Been there. And I've sat the bedside of Betty Birchfield when she was dying with cancer. It was my first pastor. I was a young man, had no idea what I was doing. And she was an old saint of God. And she did. And I rolled in there one day, Scott, I had every intention of blessing that woman. See, I wasn't the one needing something. She didn't have no money. I know she didn't. I knew where she lived, knew how she lived. But she's a rich lady. I sat by her bed, Rodney, and I held her hand. We talked for a little bit. She'd just squeeze my hand every now and then. She'd die with stomach cancer. And she had a smile on her face. You can't buy. $1 million in your bank won't put a smile on your face when you're dying of stomach cancer. She had a smile on her face. If I've ever seen $1 million, I was looking at it. She'd squeeze my hand. And she told me for about 30 minutes how good the Lord was. And I sat there, a broken preacher, and just wept. As story after story of this rich lady just was poured in my soul. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Can you say it? Can you sing it and mean it? Can you say right now, if he takes everything I got, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to love him and I'm going to serve him, because this world is not what gives me value or makes me rich. It's what I have in him. That's what makes me rich. I'm glad I'm saved, ain't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People need to be rich toward God. Whether you got anything else is irrelevant. If you're going to die in just a few days, you're going to die. And you ain't taking nothing with you. Nothing will go with you. So now tell me what having it really means. If when you die, your greatest need is not what you had, but what you still have. Because when I die, what I have with him, that goes with me. Because I'm not rich toward this world. I'm rich toward him. Amen. And I'm looking for the angels to come one day and to carry me on over. Escort me right into his presence. Amen. It wouldn't have mattered how much money on this side I had. Not one penny of it could have bought that transport. Not one cent. I don't know what's keeping you from God. But you can love stuff. You can love money. You can love a hobby. You can love things of this world. And those sins get down in your heart. And you think everything on the surface is good. But all along you're thinking, as long as it don't interfere with this. You fill in the blank. If God told you right now, give up everything and serve me, either you will or you won't. And what determines that is whether or not you really desire God's riches and not this world. Jesus taught about money more than he did anything. You know why? Because it's your problem. Yeah. It's the problem of most. The love of it's the root of all evil. You better make sure you understand where you're at with God. Because Jesus said it like this at the end of that parable. That poor man, he said, "You fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. Then whose shall those things be that you've stored up?" You're being foolish tonight if you think for one minute that chasing after the stuff of this world instead of God is the right direction. You're going down the wrong path, and you're becoming more spiritually bankrupt every day, when what you need more than anything else is to get rich toward God. And Jesus summed it up at the end. I read it to you. And he said, "And so is everyone that is not rich toward God." You'll end up just like that man. Fool. A fool. Because you chase something of worthless tender in eternity. You chase things that matters not into eternity. That's foolish. And he said, so is every man that is not rich toward God. As we stand and sing, if you're here tonight and need the Lord, why don't you get right with God tonight? Don't you let him help you.